Dang it. What was I saying? The human dongle.
Oh, get your finger out of my eye.
Way better now that you've stopped touching it.
Yes, I was...
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain, and the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain.
Welcome back to Okla Said. It is the official Okla Ed podcast, and we're mixing it up a little this week, Scott. We are meeting on Monday, like hours after the Twitter chat.
At the complete opposite end of when we usually record.
Right.
And it's possible this episode could get out before our episode on school climate.
Yeah. Which I feel bad. She was like, April was like, what's going on? I was like, we had to record three episodes. We're a little behind. Don't worry. We'll get out. But this one is super important.
It's super important.
Like, it's today. It's the walkout. You know, and so this one needed to get out ASAP, especially because there may be people listening that weren't a part of the Twitter chat last night.
Right.
We've got people across the nation who kind of want to know what is going on, you know, that tune into this Twitter chat, that tune into this podcast. So we've got to get it out now.
Yeah, it's super important. In fact, I'm tweeting right now, recording Okla Said podcast
right
about teacher walkout Okla Ed.
Yeah.
Tweet. Boom. There it is. We're doing it right now.
I just liked it right now.
I just sent it. How could you like it so fast?
I liked it so fast.
Man. Look, my phone just said liked by Aaron Barnes. I just sent it. How is Twitter so? It's like the Flash.
I love it.
Okay.
The chat was hosted by Jason James, and you'll see his interview coming through later. Like, we're recording before I even interview the person this week. Anyway, the whole conversation was about hashtag OklaEd walkout. And there's another hashtag. Is it okay walkout for kids? Is that – am I wrong?
You know what? I don't know.
Okay. It was trending the other day on the Twitters, and I was like, yeah.
Okay. You know what I'm going to do this morning, too, while we're recording? So we're recording this in the morning on the Monday of the walkout. I'm going to go ahead and pull up Twitter and have the Okla Ed feed open as well. So,
all right.
Let me just log in to that really quick.
Well, while you're doing that, let me go ahead and give out question one.
Yeah, do it. Dive into question one, please.
All right. Governor Fallon signed into law the Okla Ed budget totaling $2.9 billion. This is a $480 million increase over the previous year and includes pay raises for teachers and support. Which best describes your reaction? And he gave a few different reaction types here. A, fantastic. B, nice first step. C, okay. But when are you going to provide more money for operations? And D, sad, not even close to what is needed.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to pick a letter, what letter would you have picked?
I don't know. I just feel so jaded that I think I would have done something along the lines of, I want to be able to say nice first step. Like, inside of me, I want to be able to say thank you to our I really do want to say thank you for that. The hurdles that we've put in place for tax increases and all of this kind of stuff, I do want to say thank you. But at the same time, it's also D. It's not even close.
Yeah.
You know, thank you for the raise. Thank you for taking care of me personally. So as a selfish person, thank you. But you didn't necessarily address the army of people it takes behind the scenes for one successful teacher. And you didn't address, to my knowledge, and I could be wrong, anything at all having to do with being able to hire more teachers to lower the class sizes.
Yes. And so I don't remember where I tweeted it out, but and so like I said, C, okay, when are you going to fund, you know, the money for operations? Just because I don't remember where I tweeted this out, but it was something to the effect of, you know, if that $6,100 or that pay raise amount actually went into the funding education instead of teacher pay raises,
right?
Don't address teacher pay raise. We'll be angry about that. But if that had gone into funding the education, like, it could have reduced class size. It could have gotten more technology supports. It could have gotten all these things. And I honestly think that if we actually funded education to where it was necessary, you know, where we could do our job without having to invest more, where we could do our job without having to worry about discipline, where we could, it may is the operative word here, be worth what we were getting paid before. I'm not saying, listen, don't chastise me here, but if all of those other things were taken care of, I'm not sure we would see the angry mob that we are seeing now. Do you understand what I'm saying now?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
I think there's some merit to that because for a long time, I've argued I'd rather have respect and funding than a raise necessarily.
Yeah.
Having said that, I would like a raise.
Sure.
I mean, what teacher wouldn't? It's been stagnant for 10 years and there's this little thing called inflation.
Yeah.
You know, so 10 years ago, gas wasn't $2 a gallon and all the related expenses that come along with that.
Well, I went with a Stephen Pyle tweet here, and Stephen is at Sulfur Middle. Okay, yep. Sorry, Sulfur Middle.
Get some glasses, Aaron.
Thank you. he said, current legislation is a great first step. More is needed, but every teacher and every school needs to be on the same page in order to be more effective at negotiating. Some are in, some are out, some are out, but still having activities. And that, I think, is the biggest reason we're allowed to, I don't want to put words in their mouth, but it seems like they think of us as a joke sometimes. I mean, would you say that's fair? Like,
I mean,
they, the legislators...
And every single legislator, but in general, sure. As a voting body.
Right.
Yes.
I mean, that's why before, I think it was the weekend of Ed Camp OKC, right? There's all this buzz going about a teacher walkout. And we went into that walkout session at Ed Camp OKC, and nobody was on the same page about where to start, you know? Like, give me three objectives here. What are the first three things we want? And then we'll go from there. Mm-hmm. But even that long ago, which was what, a month ago, we were not all on the same page as far as the first three items. And I think there is a union. There are a couple of different organizations out there that are there to help teachers and educators. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I think if they did a better job at keeping us wrangled, at saying, all right, here's our objectives this year, we're going to work towards these. This year's over, here's our objectives for next year. We're going to work, I don't follow that closely the OEA page, but it doesn't seem like that is what's going out. Otherwise, we wouldn't be, you know, since 92 or whatever, from this, you know, I can't speak right now.
I think part of it comes down to the fact that the mostly conservative view in Oklahoma of unions, and that they're not super positive views of them, which I think has maybe...
That's where I sit. I mean,
you know, kind of handcuffed power, the quote-unquote the power that a union can have. Because as a teacher, I'm not compelled to be an OEA. You know what I mean?
It costs money.
Right, it costs money. It costs money to do that. I mean, I worked with people that weren't in any union as a teacher. The state of Oklahoma has made it harder to participate in the OEA by not allowing the dues to be deducted from a paycheck. You know. But right. And they only did that. They only did that to teachers. They didn't do it to police or fire or anybody else.
Right.
And so I think because of that, there are some, I think, some logistical things that have to be overcome with OEA. And the other thing too is, I think some people don't want to be represented by such a liberal organization as the OEA, and the even more liberal and horrible NEA, because, you know, that would violate our conservative values, being able to, you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
So I don't exactly know. Because sometimes I don't always agree with what the position the NEA has. You know? I mean, that some of their stuff is too far for me to even be like, I can't even inch that direction. But the OEA is my local... They're my local people. Like, they work where I work. They live where I live. They struggle with what I struggle with.
Right. I just think if their voice was a little more, I don't know, projected, and their goals were a little more, I don't want to have to go search for it. I want them to tell me what, you know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. I think that if, I don't think we'd be where we are if there was a more collective organization. And I know that sounds nuts because I'm not a huge union fan, but I am. And like, if you want us to be taken seriously, we need to say, here's our objectives this year. Did we hit them? We're still working on that next year. What are we going to do to get, and it seems like it needs to be like that. And I may get hate mail from OEA saying, hey, well, we've done this for years.
The thing too is this, can OEA turn out a vote? And I would argue no, because yeah. I think there's data that indicates the teachers in one of the last two elections, I'm not sure which one, but like something close to only 30% of teachers voted.
And that's a problem too.
I mean, so if OEA could turn a vote out and get 80% of their members to vote, I think it would be a different thing, because now politicians or elected leaders know that, hey, when OEA speaks, their members vote in such and so way.
And in the Twitter sphere, it seems as if we live in a dome, a little biosphere of OCLA Ed, and we're preaching to the choir. But, and I said to somewhere around the question three mark, I saw Christy Cooper say, like, how do these, you know, ding dongs keep getting put back into office? And I'm like, sister, we preach to the choir inside this OCLA Ed sphere.
Right.
You go to these legislators' Facebook pages. If you go and see what they're putting out, they get likes.
Right.
I mean, we are a large organization, but Oklahoma is larger than us. And so if we want to make a difference, saying I will do it and then not doing it is going to get you nowhere.
Right.
Saying we need to, and then you not being a part of that is not going to get us anywhere. And I just think that sometimes we preach to the choir within Twitter, and it's a detriment to us because we're like, yes, we all agree. Wait, why did they vote that way?
Right.
But you go to their Facebook pages and people are like, thank you for voting that way. And I don't know. My husband says, you know, the people that make comments on things are the angry people anyway. And so I don't know how real the comments are, or how well they represent the mass populace. But I don't know. It just, especially in the last couple of weeks, I've been just diving into some of these Facebook pages on, you know, this stupid downward spiral of research on all this stuff. And it's insane. I don't think people are collectively for teachers as much as they were before the teacher race. You know, before that piece was put into place, people were like, yeah, they do need a little bit. And I mean, there was opposition, but for the most part, there was large support. And then it was passed. And
right.
Now it's like, you greedy sons of guns, get back to the classroom and do what you're supposed to do. And it's just frustrating to me. Sam.
It's just it's a difficult situation, and sometimes the people that scream the loudest get kind of what they want because they're the super squeaky wheel. I don't know. I just we have some inherent issues with how things are funded.
Agreed. I totally agree with you there.
So for my tweet on this one, I went with Carrie Chlebanowski. Okay, I'm sorry, Carrie. So you'll need to do a little Twitter video to show me how to say your last name. But she is at Ms. Schleb. She said C, which was, okay, when are you going to provide dollars for operations? She said C. It's a first step, but not a good one. History doesn't give me much reason to trust Oklahoma leg with keeping the funding appropriated where it is currently. Funds only adds to my suspicions of political games being played at my kids' expense. And I think every teacher will agree to that.
I agree.
So.
I agree.
Yeah, you do. And the other thing, too, is, and here we are, we're having a podcast on a walkout, and you were just talking about reading Facebook pages, and we talked to ourselves. The thing that we have to figure out as a community, as an Okla Egg community, is how do we get out of our own echo chamber? So, you know, there's the Facebook group, OKP for E or whatever, and there's the teacher walkout group, and there's a couple of groups like that. It's all people with the same passions and goals talking to each other about those same passions and goals.
Yes.
So the question for you, listener, is how do we get this information to people who truly don't understand, that aren't where we are, that don't live what we live, that don't see what we see, that aren't in these same spaces we are in? We have to educate those that don't live what we live.
Yes.
So how do we do that?
That's the $10,000 question right there, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Question two, how will the recent Okla Ed pay raise affect you and your family? Will it make a difference for the teaching profession? What impact will this have on the teacher shortage?
Man,
I don't think this necessarily impacts either one of us right now, as we are currently employed.
As we are currently employed, you and I know. But for the typical teacher out there, I mean, I hope it means that they've got a little more cushion, right? Or they can quit the second job, maybe, for the ones that do have second jobs and devote more of that time to their classroom.
But that's only for a veteran teacher of at least 10 years of experience getting the significant raise.
The significant one, but every teacher across the board is getting a raise.
Right. But I would argue, though, that still a first-year teacher here in Oklahoma versus Texas is still almost $20,000 difference. 16. 50,000 versus 34.
I thought, no, 34 was where it was. I thought it went up.
It was 31.6 was the minimum salary scale.
Okay. Well, and that's the other thing, too, that's super confusing, because there are so many schools out there that pay above the minimum.
Right.
And so I guess that's a confusion of mine. Maybe I should have answered A9. Or anyway, I went with Stephanie Heim on this one. She said, hopefully the raise will entice career teachers to stay in the profession and will keep newbies in our state. Like, the teachers that are here getting their education degree, I hope it gives them a reason to stay, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But hope is not a strategy. I don't know.
I mean, all we can do is hope. It's probably not the best way to go through life.
No.
I went with Heather Johnston. She is at Teaching Elements. She said, I don't think it'll keep new teachers in Oklahoma, but it may keep some tenured teachers for a year or two more. But this doesn't address classroom size or caseloads, all factors that affect teaching. And I liked that one because that's how I feel about this. If I was a new teacher, I still don't know if I would stay in Oklahoma. I mean, I'm turning down over, if I go from here versus Texas, that's $45,000 over 3 years extra that I earn in Texas.
Yeah.
And that's if I make $35,000 in Oklahoma. So, boy.
Yeah. Well, okay. So for question three, he put out a slide that has more information on it. So I've got the slide in here. I don't know if it'll go pretty into.
We'll put it in the show notes.
He said, one aspect causing confusion is the revenue bills that have been perceived by many to have been directly associated to funding of teacher support and state employee raises. We know the Okla Ed budget isn't directly affected by the hotel tax repeal, but that seems to have rekindled some raw emotions. What is one thing that's still causing you confusion? Okay, so it was this one maybe that I should have put on, you know, an answer for. I went with Clay McDonald on this one, and he is at McDonald Clay. He said, are schools exempt from the increase in diesel tax, or will schools be paying as much for diesel now? And so I thought that was a good question. He had no likes, he had no retweets, and like even an hour past the chat, I was like, man, that is a good question, because if we're raising the diesel tax and they have to pay, you know, more, is it going to offset? And somebody did come in, I retweeted it and I said, this is a great question, Okla Ed. Somebody did come in and say that schools are exempt from these taxes. And so I just wanted to throw that out there because I don't know if Clay had seen this, but it was definitely something I didn't know as well. So schools are exempt, Clay, from that tax.
Well, and I don't think the, again, this could be where I am unaware, but I thought the entire budget thing that they passed, that the legislature passed with the hotel motel tax in it, was all part of the education funding. However, that particular piece didn't address the funding from the hotel motel tax wasn't going towards teacher pay increases, but I thought it was going into the general revenue fund or something like that, where we get funding from. But I could be unaware of that.
This is hard.
Maybe I know. It's just crazy. I think the thing that gets me going with this is that they passed it and then they repealed it. So, and I tweeted.
It's just the hotel part, not the diesel part.
Right, just the hotel part. So my question is, what's going to prevent them from revisiting this in 2 weeks and taking another piece out for some other thing?
We do typically wait until the last week of session before OCLA Ed gets a budget. Mm-hmm. They've given us a budget and we've still got weeks to go.
Right.
So, yeah, that's a good question. I don't know.
That's crazy. So Wes Fryer, he is at W. Fryer. He said, I am still confused by the OCLA legs, legislature's support of continued cuts to state services across the board. How can they imagine this is acceptable or moral?
And I keep seeing the word moral plugged in here, and I'm not sure I like the word being plugged in just because, I don't know. Anyway, that's a whole nother debate, but lots of people are throwing around the word moral, and I'm just not sure about it.
Well, I think if you look at how people are served by other institutions in this case, it's such a disservice to those in need and those that can't speak for themselves that are we morally doing something wrong?
Are we?
I don't know. That's what he's asking.
I know. I know. That's why I'm like, but are we?
I mean,
anyway. At this point?
If we aren't, you know, Oklahoma has said that you have to bring, and I don't want to get into like some crazy political discussion.
I know. That's why I kind of quit talking.
But we're going to bring a life into this world because we're saying that is what we believe.
Yes.
Then should we not be responsible for that life until it expires at X and such date, several, hopefully decades later.
Responsible, and, yes, but to what quality? And now you're into the word quality. Right. And whose definition of quality do you go with? So, and
being able to eat food?
Okay, all right. I guess if they can't eat food, it is a moral obligation.
Remove them from a harmful situation, if I am aware of it?
Well, I mean, yeah, like... Are we talking about kids?
Yeah.
Adults?
Can kids remove themselves from a situation? Not typically. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. I get your moral game, but I think there are some things where we're making it really hard for some of our state agencies to help those that are in need.
I agree, but this again is where I think we could, if we, I don't know. I wish, again, it costs money, but... I mean, there could be an audit, and there are audits. I know that there are transparent audits across the board for the way the current formulas are set up. Mm-hmm. If we could play around with some of that formula game, you know, could we find more money within where it's already at?
Right.
That's the only question I'm asking here.
And I think that's a great question too. And I think having this supermajority on tax increases limits the legislature what they can do if they need a tinker here and there. Just here and there.
I agree. So, and that stops.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we're going to morally move on to question four.
I'm not sure about that. Question four.
Question four. What are your plans for Monday and why are you doing what you're doing?
So we are podcasting, you and I.
So here we are. These are our plans.
I have to go to court today for a student. I've been subpoenaed, so there's that.
Tell the truth.
I will. And other than that, I mean, my school had decided not to walk. So if I hadn't had court plans, I would be working today. Mm.
Why did your school choose? Are you aware of why they chose not to participate in this? Because they are a public school, correct?
They are a public school. And that, and I think that's the other thing that like people should realize. There's only like 33% of students represented in this walkout, the last I saw. So of the 471 districts out, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
The 500 there, something.
Yeah. Only like 130 are walking. And so we are in the supermajority that is not walking. We totally support the walking. Mm-hmm. And this is where it just gets frustrating. But because the charter part exists, we're public, but we're charter. We accept all students, but we can be creative with funding. Our teachers are paid well.
Right.
Our students get a say in where their funding, some of their funding goes. And so I think we've decided not to walk, but we do totally support the people that are walking. As a matter of fact, we're volunteering at churches and at local schools serving food where we can. If we're not working state testing, because that started today, then we have been encouraged to go support our local areas where the teachers are walking.
Okay.
So, I guess that's, I mean, there are probably other questions that could go into that, but that was the
big one.
The big one.
Yeah. I wonder though what the population, like you said, 30 something percent of the students, I bet it's 30 something percent of districts, but I think the majority of students are represented. Well, because you have all the major Tulsa Metro and all the major Oklahoma City Metro. That's a large chunk.
That is a large chunk, but I think I was going by, and I may have misunderstood Angela Clark Little's pictures. I thought it said percent of students represent.
Okay,
interesting. I could be wrong, though. Could be wrong. Let us know.
All right, who was your tweet?
Joy Hoffmeister, mm-hmm. who was, again, I mean, we're on the eve of one of the biggest, you know, kind of education crises going on in Oklahoma. And where is she? She's with her people in the chat. And I just really appreciated that. But she said, I'll be at the Capitol. There's a lot of work left to do. And, you know, she is not going to be in the office taking care of business. She is where her people are taking care of business. And so I really appreciated that.
I do too. I went with Elizabeth E. Smith, and she is at EESmith0814. She said, my purpose in going to the Capitol is, one, to thank Okla Ed for fighting for my kids. Two, to ask Okla Leg to adequately fund our schools. Three, educate my House rep, who is very misinformed, thinks Edu needs more cuts. And four, acknowledge the huge progress that was made by passing House Bill 1010.
And so I guess I just want to know, with the educators who think more cuts, I mean, not the educators, the legislators who think more cuts, why? Like, why more cuts?
Well, I think, like, my own district representative wants to eliminate administration costs. And to him, I just want to respond, we have the highest pupil to administrator ratio in the region. And it's my understanding, and again, this could be wrong, but I think if we use the numbers that everybody has agreed to use for all of these purposes, you know, like average teacher pay is $45,000. Like, we've all agreed to use that, even though it's not technically correct. I think that from what I've seen from those numbers that everybody has agreed on, even if we eliminated every administrative position in the state, district administration, not building level.
Sure.
That it would, and took all that money and put it into teacher pay raise only, it still would not move us from our current location prior House Bill 1010.
I agree.
So how is that a significant waste of money then?
No.
That would be my question.
I wouldn't say that that's a significant waste of money, but that coupled with this, coupled with that, maybe it could move. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. And two, my rep is big on audits. Well, he's been elected several times to his position in the House. And where are all the audits that he wants to do?
Audits like cost money, and that's like that's the problem.
He's
like
been there long enough to be able to get some going. Like he's not some rookie guy,
right?
So if you think there's a crap ton of money out there, get that audit going, man. Like what? Why now? Why didn't you do this 10 years ago when you were first elected? You're about to term out. Like that's how long he's been there.
My school is audited every single year.
Charter
thing. Every single year they audit us. At the last year of Barisi, she didn't accept the original audit and sent in another private agency to do it. And we're still here. And she's not. Kidding. That was
dig, poke. The dentist.
Oops. Just kidding. Sorry, not sorry. Anyway, audits are awesome, but they cost money, and you've got to find that money somewhere as well. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yep.
Anyway, question 5.
You got it.
Okay, what is your school or community doing to support teachers and your/their decision? In Sapulpa has walked. They've got a school open for the lunches. My church has opened its doors for student day camp. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I am done at court, I'm going to head over there and fill in for the last half of the day. They're opening their doors at 7 a.m. and you know, open until 6 p.m. for these day camps, you know, to try to cover what the typical latchkey situation would look like.
Right.
So those are a couple of things going on in Sapulpa. And I'm pretty proud of some of the supports they've put into place so that the teachers could, you know, go walk.
I think that there's been amazing support across a variety of communities from several different places to support teachers and helping them with their own students or with their own children during this time, from making sure that buses run specific routes in, like, feed everybody from X and such age to X and such age until they come eat and leave, and bus them back, to local churches stepping in, to like our university. I can't remember exactly what our university is doing here in Chickasha, but they're supporting some, you know, in some fashion. And so I think that shows that's powerful.
Yeah.
And it all the way down to like Empire Slice Pizza, free drink, free slice, free salad.
No, I completely agree. So. And I saw a tweet from somebody in Tahlequah saying that teachers were from the community given a $50 gift certificate. I mean, just so much support. And I went with the Tyler Bridges tweet here because he says, my wife teaches third grade and has literally had multiple parents pull her aside and tell her they support her 100%. And if there's anything that she needs, they are there to provide it. So touching and inspiring. Mm-hmm. It is nice to know when you are supported.
Yeah. I went with Lauren Pena. Lauren_Pena16, and she said, the awesome churches in our community came together to make sure our kiddos get to eat lunch while schools are closed. And I think that's critical.
Yeah.
By the way, I just want to share that typically on a Monday, you know, you get a few Oakland Ed tweets every few minutes or so, but since we've been on our podcast, there have been 87 new tweets.
Yikes.
So
a lot of
action. Question 6. What message do you want to send to the legislature on Monday? And what do you think the long-term goal for Oakland Ed funding should be?
So I went with David Burton here, Mr. David Burton, the social studies guru, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He is at
Mr. One of many gurus. One of many.
I think you called him the. teasing. Okay. He is at Mr. Burton MPS on the Twitters. He said, remind Okla Leg that Article 13, Section 1 of Oklahoma Constitution requires them to support and maintain a system of free public schools wherein all children of the state may be educated. And we expect them to fully accomplish that requirement. This, again, is where that word quality comes into place. At what level of fully supported education, or, you know, I just think that that is such a broad term to be educated. Mm-hmm. You know, at what level, to what outcome, to, you know, whatever.
How do you define, support, and maintain.
Exactly.
Like, that's hard.
It's just insane to me. The new standards are much more rigorous. Mm-hmm. You know, we've done that. We've added new standards to try to bring up the level of education, yet we cut and cut and cut the classroom funding, the per pupil funding, the ability to raise our teaching standards to where the new Oklahoma education academic standards are. Anyway, so I just think, I love his tweet there. Yes, remind them of this, but maybe they think they're already doing that because there is no basis of measurement on that, you know, article.
Right. That's really hard. And I wonder too, you know, Kansas has gone through this where the Supreme Court has said that the legislature isn't upholding the Kansas Constitution, and it's worded in a similar way.
Yes.
So I don't know. I wonder if there's a lawsuit that should happen with some gung-ho lawyer that would be willing to pursue it.
I mean, it'd be interesting.
And is that the right way?
I mean, it's something has to happen.
Right?
You can't put these ambiguous things out there and then say, now meet it, but cut.
Right.
And then chastise when we don't hit your mark.
Right. Like,
just saying.
And again, with all of this, I don't want Oklahoma Ed to benefit at the expense of other agencies in need.
That's the problem. And other people who are living paycheck to paycheck as well. Like we talked about, you know, my mom last week. So it's hard when you start saying we need this over these other people.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard. Go ahead.
So Linda Hassler-Reed, she is at Linda Hassler-Reed. She said, Ed funding isn't just a concern of parents and educators, but anyone with an investment, personal or professional, in Oklahoma businesses won't want to come nor stay in a state ranked, get this now, 50th in education and number one in incarceration. The quality of Oklahoma Ed will determine our state's future. So I'm not sure where we rank in it with incarceration. But I can tell you this. We should be concerned if we have to spend more money with our Department of Corrections than we do with our Department of Education. And I'm saying out of necessity. Like, if it's necessary to fund the Department of Corrections with more money than we can fund the Department of Education, I think we have an issue. Because if we can, there will always be kids that are going to be grow up to be ding-dongs. I mean, that's like part of being human, I guess, right? There's always going to be a need for some sort of corrections.
Right. But,
oh my gosh, if we can provide a solid structural foundation for these students from the get-go, can that lower our cost later on the corrections side?
So I just Googled it while you were speaking, our incarceration rates, and it looks like it looks like we are number two in overall incarceration rates and number one in female incarceration rates.
Dang.
In the state, in the nation. So, you know, and do you not think that there's a direct correlation between education and incarceration?
I don't know. There certainly could be. But then, then are we saying that our education system's fouled up? Like, is it that fouled up? I don't know. I mean, if you look at ACT testing and things like that, though, we're cranking out knowledgeable people.
To be fair, that is of the people who were taking the ACT.
Right.
We weren't requiring everybody to take the ACT before last year.
No, but I think on some of the data that I've seen, we had 85% of our students taking it before. So that's still a large chunk.
It is a large chunk.
So I don't know. Quit asking these hard questions.
Well, I need answers. Question 7. Let's go back to a super hard one.
Yeah, let's
do. What additional action for Ed would you like to see from Oklahoma Leg and Mary Fallon? Amanda James was playing me. Ugh. She picked this. I picked her tweet and she knew I would. I'm just saying. Because There's a West Wing quote in there.
Oh, of course.
Because of the West Wing quote, I had to go and look the whole thing up. And so I will give it to you. But she says, quit playing political games. Please be clear in your support for Okla Ed now and in the future. And then she goes with the West Wing quote. And instead of, and I'll tell you what she wrote, but I'm going to just say the whole thing here real quick. Okay. And this is Sam Seaborn saying this, I think season one.
Oh, season one. All right. Which episode? Season one episode.
I don't know.
Oh.
13, I'm guessing. I don't know. But he said, education can be the silver bullet. Education is everything. We don't need little changes. We need gigantic, monumental changes. Competition for the best teachers should be fierce. They should make a six-digit salary. Schools should be incredibly expensive to the government, like the defense systems. Mm-hmm. And her little piece that she put in there is make education, make public schools palaces. Public education is the silver bullet. And I so agree with all of those things. I think there's a reason why there are books that exist called, teach like the Finnish, or, and I'm not saying Finnish is F-I-N-I-S-H.
Like the country.
Finland, you know, I mean, there's a reason Estonia and Finland are the top schools all the time. You know, if we could fund them fully like they do in those other countries, I mean, you don't get to teach in Finland unless you have a master's degree. It is a high, of the utmost importance in some of these countries, being a teacher. I mean, they're held to such high respect because teachers do produce doctors, because teachers do produce lawyers. You know, it's a big deal, and it can be, it should be as expensive as our government's defense system, in my opinion.
I think I could be wrong here, but I also believe that there's no private or charter school or other alternative means of, there's no homeschool either in Finland. There is a community neighborhood school. That is where you go. You can't move from that.
Standardize,
right,
the way. I mean, like, I think in for the sake of standardization, for the sake of, all right, we can put X dollar on student here, you know, go produce outcomes. Mm-hmm. They don't have standardization over there. They take tests, but they're not like standard. Not every single student takes these tests. And they personalize education,
right,
to the nth degree over there. I mean, you will be in classes geared towards this, if that's, you know, what you're into. Not every kid takes chemistry over there. Not every kid takes, you know, algebra over there.
Right.
Saying.
But I'm not arguing with you on that part. I think there's some, I don't know that we could implement all of that, the quote-unquote Finnish model, into the United States, simply because some of our people, they just want charter schools, or they just want online schools, or they just want homeschool, or they just want private school, or they live in this school district, but they want to go to that school district. And I think there's a bunch of hurdles there that we would not be able to overcome.
But if we were able to personalize education like that, do you think we would have a need for this or that? If we were able to discipline like they discipline, I'm just saying, and I'm not talking about capital punishment whoopins and stuff. I'm still an Oklahoman. I'm just saying, if we could take things and incorporate them, it could make a difference. I don't think you would need all of the choice options if choice was in the education. But I also know that they tax at like 50% of the income over there, because the healthcare is the same way. It's universal over there. Education, right, is universal over there. So it's going to cost you some money, but is it important?
Right. That's the question, isn't it? That's the question. So Deborah Thornton, she's my tweet for this one. She's at DJ Thornton. She said, I'd love for them all to see that fiscally responsible does not always mean cutting dollars. It means balancing a budget that funds what needs to be funded. Trimming the fat is great, but it shouldn't be starving it off.
No. Agree.
Question 8. What will it take for you to go back to work? Well, here we are both technically working, so.
I know. This is a hard one because, like, we're both here. How many other people are teaching, you know, their English lesson for the day? I don't know. Mr. David Burton, and here's the thing. Sorry, I'm going to stop for a second. The tweets on this, going back to our original first question, the tweets on this were so diverse. What will it take for you to go back to work? The tweets were diverse, and how mm-hmm. how do you corral that? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
How do you corral that? We've got to become a little more unified. I know that I'm saying standardization is not the way to go, but in our needs, we've got to standardize a little more. We've got to come together a little more. Just saying.
Yeah.
I want my cake and I want to eat it too. How's that?
Wow. You're just going to have to pick one.
David Burton said, respect for the valuable work of teachers, paras, custodians, bus drivers, cooks, admins, and respect for our students in their learning experience and environments.
Yeah, that's really good.
I almost boom sauced that one.
Yep. And then to go along with that, Michelle Waters. And I chose Michelle's because I think she sums up how I feel about all of this right now. And okay. She is at Waters English. And she said, I am concerned that once we all go home, once the cameras are looking the other way, it will be business as usual for the OK leg, which hasn't been good for OCLA Ed. It's that whole, there's a pattern all through these last few decade.
Yeah.
Of things that our legislature has done to education. And it's hard to ignore that.
Yeah.
And I get not everybody in legislature is anti-education. I understand that. But what comes out of that body has been harmful.
And I don't think that any of them would say I'm anti-education, but the way they vote sure makes it seem like that way.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, question 9, what unanswered questions do you want answered at this time? And I went with Chauncey Lohr, and I kind of think that it's a rhetorical question because I don't know that there's an answer. But why has this lack of educational funding been allowed to happen for so long?
I mean, that's a great question. Because
it's a great question.
It's been allowed to happen by somebody, right?
Yeah.
And then David Burton, who apparently was on fire because we've picked him left, right, and center today.
This is up his alley. He is Mr. Government.
He is on it. He said, we were here 29 years ago. We've rallied each year for the past several. We're here now. And for how long? Can you hear us? Dear OK Leg, what actionable plan will you implement from now through indefinite future to keep us from having to come back?
It's a good question. Now, can they? I think they have to come up with the budget each year. Am I wrong?
No, so, I believe each year has to have its own unique budget because we're a balanced budget state.
Right. And so there were people that are like, fund education for the next 4 years, blah, 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 blah. I don't think that they can do that legally. But finding a long-term plan in that, finding a source of revenue that
right.
could each year be dedicated would go a long way
yeah.
here.
Yeah. Something. But promises from some elected officials have been hard to listen to. Question 10, share with everyone one great thing going on at your school right now, whether in your classroom or a teaching peer, what is one thing you want people to know is awesome in your school?
There were amazing things in
yes.
this. I mean, super amazing things in this. I went with Nathan Meggett,
right.
and he is at NMeggett on the Twitters. And Southwest Elementary is his elementary school or his school.
That's a Clinton school.
Oh, okay. He said the Southwest Elementary students have read over 51 million words as a school in the last 2 9 weeks.
Wow.
Second, third, and fourth graders getting stuff done because of their awesome teachers. That's pretty amazing.
I can't even count that high.
I don't want to count that high. My kids start counting to 100. I'm like, oh, can this game be over?
1, 2, skip a few, 99, 100.
Yeah.
So Sherry Gately, and she's at Sherry Gately. She said, my school is full of students who will be graduating in May as the first in their family. And then they're going to college. This is huge. And this is what education is all about. This is a game changer for generations to come. Bang.
Yep.
So there
yep.
you go.
Boom sauces.
Yes.
So with Stephanie Hintons, she was answering question number 8, which was, what will it take for you to go back to work?
Okay.
And I had put it in the question eight answer, and then I thought, you know what? Nope. She's going down the clock. She said, an end to treating funding core services like a zero-sum game. It's not. Funding core services is an Oklahoma legislator's responsibility. I realize that difficult decisions must be made, but we elected our legislators to legislate and fund the government.
Yeah.
I mean, it's your job. It's a tough job. No question about it. You've got difficult decisions to make, but that's why you were placed in a position. People thought you were worth investing in. People thought you were going to do something. Now do it.
Yeah. And it's hard.
That is hard.
So I went with Jeffrey Corbett here. He's at Jeffrey Corbett. He said, that's why there can't be an end. We may go home, but Oklahoma Ed must be vigilant. We must vigilant. Vigilant.
Vigilant.
You know, as I've gone through my graduate program, I've learned to make up new words.
I don't question you if you have PhD next to your name.
That's right. I'm gonna vigilant my way through the rest of this tweet. He said, that's why there can't be an end. We may go home, but Oklahoma Ed must be vigilant. We must vote, call, email, and most of all, encourage others to do the same. This isn't about one day, one week, one month. It's about making a lifestyle change.
And again, I want to know what the percentage of people in our group have actually done what they said they were going to, or you know what I'm saying? Like, just... It seems like there are so many of us. If we had all actually done those things versus just said we were going to.
Right.
I don't know. And I don't want to call anybody a liar either. But it just seems as if we are not being represented. So are we representing ourselves?
I don't know. I think certain people get elected because certain people vote in. I'm not, you can't convince me that teachers have held their end of the bargain up there.
I agree.
And that's what needs to change.
It needs to change. Or else we're just going to be complaining every year, right?
And nobody wants to do that. I'm tired of that.
Agreed.
I'm tired of that. So, there you go.
Next week.
The walkout.
Chat. Oh yeah, that was the walkout. Next week, though, on
next
the Twitter
week. Vanessa Perez, one of our faves.
I know. And so it was super fun because Ann Beck tweeted out the poster of things to come, and it said, Vanessa Perez, don't know what it is, but it will be amazing.
Yeah.
And Vanessa was like, no pressure. Thanks. And so Vanessa Perez will have something amazing. It's to be disclosed at a later time, to be discussed. What is TBD for real? Like, I make it up in my brain, but it's different each time. But it's along the same lines of we don't know yet.
To be determined.
To be determined, to be discussed, to be, I don't know, distributed later. Mm-hmm. But it is going to be amazing because what has she done that isn't amazing?
I mean, she smelled that one guy's tobacco pouch at the library in Washington, D.C. The dead guy from, like, World War One dead.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and she's like, how do you... And she tweeted a picture of it. Like, how do you think this tobacco pouch smells?
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, anybody that thinks of it like that, I like.
I like it. And that'll be at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time on Sunday night. As always.
As always. And Oklahoma Ed, if you have hung it with us through this really long Oklahoma Ed podcast, well.
I know. So sorry, Oklahoma Ed.
Hang on longer because we've got an interview with Dr. Jason James coming at some point today or early tomorrow. And also into your podcast feed will be episode 57, which is going to come out probably sometime later today after this episode.
Yeah.
So there you go. For your listening pleasure to and from the Capitol.
Or maybe during the Capitol. Like, I mean...
While you're waiting.
While you're waiting.
Yeah, there you go.
All right.
All right.
All right, educators, you know what to do?
Go out and talk to them legislators and make them see some sense.
Yeah, which is essentially dominating the world.
Essentially.
Essentially.
We're only saying you're doing fine, Oklahoma, Oklahoma, okay.